Okay, today's daf is daf chaf chet, and we'll begin from the Mishnah. So it says, "Hiniach banim gdolim uktanim." So let's say we have a case of an estate, and there are both adult children and young children, and vehishpichu hagdolim et, and it seems to be the gdolim put some effort. Explain what that means by some in it for a moment to improve the value of the estate. Well, then the shevach goes to him, to the middle, meaning it's shared by both the gdolim and the ketanim. Everyone benefits from it. So to explain this, Mar Fulda says, that's when we've got, like, if you like, a natural appreciation of the value. That's what we're talking about. So what's their involvement? Because that's provided that the gdolim didn't invest any capital themselves. Ella, but rather what they did is they simply took the funds from the estate, and sachru to fund hiring workers, and therefore that's what increased the value. In other words, it seemed to be within a closed circle, no extra injection on the outside. It seems to be that just the gdolim, if you like, managed the estate. You know, said, okay, we'll pay for so and so, you do this, and the like. However, if the gdolim, it sounds like, actually got involved and they planted and they invested and whatever, then that's a different story. Then they will benefit from that profit. So again, what the Marfulda does is simply restricts the scope of the Mishnah, or Mefarsh is much, much more restricted than we thought. That when does it mean that if the Gdolim got involved and created an increase in value, that's within the assets of the state itself, okay? And then it's all shared, even though they took initiative and took up and you know implemented certain things in place. Nonetheless, that's what the din is. Okay, nonetheless, it's all shared. Okay, let's continue. Now the Mishnah continues. If they says no, then however, if they said, look, this is what Father gave us, we're now taking initiative to do certain things, then they can benefit from that amount. That's fine. Then the Gemara considers, same too, if a woman, again, husband seems to pass away and she is involved and take initiative to do certain things, that benefit goes to the middle, meaning shared by the Yorshim equally. However, im amru, if she says, that which my husband left me, you know, that is, I'm taking initiative, so therefore I want to be the beneficiary of this, then it would work. Okay, so if you stipulate in front of Beit Din, then I'm doing this alone. Now, well, the question is, what are we talking about here in terms of the case of the Isha? The Maror Fulda says we're talking about Isha Yoreshet, where the wife is one of the Yorshim. Now, well, the wife is not normally one of the Yorshim. How does that work? So it's engineered in a very interesting way that let's say Reuven married Shimon's daughter, the niece. Reuven passes away, no children. Where does it go then? It goes, no father goes to the brother. If the brother's not around, then, yeah, but the brother has offspring, then those offsprings are Yoresh. So in that situation, this man who passed away, his nieces would be the Yorshim. That's what we're talking about. And it happens to be that one of the nieces is his wife. That's the case where Isha Yoreshet. So therefore, this is like, now, the question is, why do we need to have engineer such an interesting case? He says, this is the middle of Dumarach Isha, you might think that since the hana she gets of she has of controlling the assets of her late husband, that she is known to be the manager of the funds, if you like. Afilo Amra, even if she says, Ra'u, come see what my husband has left. Afilo Hachi, maybe she should still be Machla Barotzeshi and maybe the Sheva should be the Emza. Kamash Malan, no, that's not the case. That if she says, look, I'm doing this, see what my husband has left, let's take an accounting here, and the appreciation now will be mine. In that situation, we say that, yes, okay, fine. That's a tonight that's taken upon. Okay, fine. That's a Mishnah. Amarna says, so Amar Imamru, when is it? What's the case of Imamru? That is Bebeitin. Bebeitin mean it has to be an official statement in order for the Shevach not to go to the Emtza, not just they get up and declare. Okay, I'll show you here. He says, "Lifnei beitim v'lo, not simply amongst themselves, and v'hu adini, also in front of Edim." Okay, there's another opinion that stuffed in front of Beit Din, but it has to be more official than just she's saying, all right, I'm gonna do it. Or the brothers, one of the brothers said, I'm gonna do it, and the Ketanim are like, just happened to be around. It has to be much more official. Okay, let's continue. The Gemara says to be Reviana Amri Afilu Irania. Well, there's here it's Odnaya is a different girsa. And what the Gemara's doing now is it's saying that even if some of the, if you like, profits are coming from renting out some of the properties within the estate, even minor things, that still is shared amongst the brothers. So one brother says, Odnaya here it seems to be, he says, this is a klisha omed, this is almost like, it sounds like a footstool of some sort. Klisha omed lav lirot merachok. Like guards used to stand on it. So even if you have to rent it out, that small footstool or ladder, even those minuscule money that's being made, no, that still has to be shared. And we've other cases like that. I feel a sal, I feel a karadam, even basket, even axe. Tani Reb Chiya says, I feel a machet, even a needle. You rent needles, you might think it's like nothing. No, that's still shared amongst the brothers come from the state. I feel a mukaf tzamid patil. The mukaf tzamid patil is usually refers to a kli cheres sealed tight. And why would someone want a kli cheres that's able to be sealed tight? Because that protects things within an ohel amet. Remember this? Within an ohel and the same covering, if there's a met, if there's a corpse, it spreads tumah everywhere. However, a kli tzamid patil, a kli cheres, the other way contained that's sealed tight, sealed shut, then that kli acts as almost like a force field. Okay? Now, you can't imagine the kli cheres are very cheap, and the rental would be almost next thing significant, like renting out a needle. Nonetheless, it has to go back to the older brothers and shared equally. Okay, let's continue. Amrav Chanina. Amasiyat beno babayit zacha babayit. So Hamisa Babayit, I'll show you here. It seemed to be, do we have it here? I thought we had it here. Well, we discussed this actually. The reason why I hesitated, because it's familiar, because we saw this in Ketubot. And this is where if he's Masiyat Bnoi, the son gets married in a particular house, and the husband cleared out that space, the husband, the father cleared out that space, the assumption is that he's giving it over to him. That's the idea. So that's what we're saying now. Hamasiyat beno bebayit, zacha bebayit, he's zocha in the house. Tana Rebbe Yoshaya, bebayit in the house, but not v'lo, specifically the house that was assumed to be that the father is willing to give that over to his son. Okay? So now the Gemara says, Rebla, what he did to ensure that he says, chilek et hatraklin beno. He split the hall, the room, in half to make it clear that he wasn't giving out the whole place. Okay, to his son. What if the chuppah was in the inner room? And the suudah was done in the traklin. The traklin is the larger hall, which is towards the entrance of the house. What's the din there? Do we say that the ikar chuppah is just the cheder, and that's why the room is the kiton, the smaller room, that's what he's giving over? Or do we say it's the whole house because there was also suudah there as well? I'll just read you the marafulda. It says, this is chedesh, in other words, the kiton is this bedroom. That's where they did the chuppah. Vasalo that was the thing that was done in the bigger hall, the bigger room. So mao ikar beit chatnut hi chuppah. We said the beit chatnut is makom chuppah. That's really only giving in that room. Velo kana track and doesn't require the whole traklin. Afagav, despite the fact that the misibah, the food was done there. Or Dilma, maybe she'ef shalin simbol or suda, maybe that's an essential part of the suim having the feast. So therefore, the whole thing goes together. So that's what the question is. Amalei, late chamilei mafka. So what that means is, well, here the gears of the marfuda says late lay chamilei mafka, which means im kishein lekiton derech letzet im lo mina kiton letraklin. If there's no other exit from the house other than from the kiton via the traklin, nitzat traklin, find the traklin mishuabad. It's almost like mishuabad means there's a lien, but it's necessary for the inner room because you need to go through to exit. Let's kiton, let's set the derech sham. So if you have the kiton, you at least have access to go through the traklin. So therefore, gamma traklin come there. So he says it really depends on the configuration of the house to work out whether the traklin comes along with the kiton. Okay. Now, Yoshua ben Levi Omer. Amar, chulkin lektanim mipnei agdolim. Now, this point here is chulkin lektanim, is that when we're talking about profits that the older brothers are making, and we said that that's shared amongst everybody. At what point do you share? Can he reinvest the profits? Like, what do we do? So the Rav Yehoshua ben Levi says, I'll show you in the Maraful. You don't wait till you've got enough of a distribution, call it that. Elamiyad, you distribute it straight away. Whatever the profits are coming in, you distribute it amongst the Yerushim immediately. Why? The problem is that if you don't distribute it immediately, the Gdolim will say, look, we're putting the effort in here. So they'll more a heter to justify why they can take some of the profits. So to protect the Ketanim, we say, oh, as soon as profits come in, well, you distribute it straight away. Right? When more in heter, by the way, means they tell themselves they are justified when they're really not justified in taking more. Okay? So the Gemara says, it continues, Ela amdu ktanim umatzu davar yeter. So what happens if the ktanim, they grow up and they find out, they go to the accountant and see that things don't seem to be so balanced. So amru, again, it was umatzu davar yeter mimashum gdolim. They seem to be that the prophets seem to be more than the gdolim said there were prophets. So we say ktanim, and the ktanim object, and they say, you're not giving us enough of the prophets. You said there was only 100, there's 150, and we should get a larger distribution. The Do the Gdolim have to make a Shvuah? Or maybe not. Or do we say that the Ketanim, you said, well, you say there's more profits, you want to extract more from us, the burden of proof is on you. Like any dispute, right? And if you don't have a raya, then have to do a shvuah. That's his first reading. He gives another reading. So, in other words, once again, in this situation, we have the gdolim and the ktanim, and we said if the gdolim somehow improve the assets, improve the estate in some way, they share their profits evenly. We said it doesn't have to be an improvement. It could even be like renting out certain things. And it came to a point where the ktanim said, one second, the profits seem to be a lot more than the distribution that you're giving us indicates. So the question is, can they enforce them to do a shvuah or not? What do we say? The older brothers say, "Motzei mechavala v'araya." So the Gemara says, "Okay." Rabbi Aval says, "Nishbaim lehem." The Gdolim have to make a shvuah. They can require a shvuah in that situation. So Amar Rav Mana, he says, "Kol motzei mechavala chutz mizu." Generally, when you're trying to extract something for somebody else, like I'm saying, you have certain amount of money of mine, and the guy goes, "I have no idea what you're talking about." Then the proof is on you, at least, to extract those funds. Even to make a shvuah, you have to at least, have a single witness or whatever all the conditions were of having, we said before, of make a shvuah, whatever mitzvah, we said all the situations. However, in this situation, the ketanim are just saying, well, it seems to us you got more. Even then, nonetheless, they can obligate him to the older brothers to make a shvuah that the distributions were faithful, that the distributions were to the level, the profits, sorry, were to the levels that they were comparable to the distributions.
Sorry, there's something essential I don't understand here. That we are speaking about after the Chalukah of the Yerusha,
It hasn't
or
been divided yet.
has
We're
not been
dealing,
decided.
this is prior to the division of the Chalukah. If it's been dividing on the separation, there's nothing to talk about. We're
Right.
talking about everything still intact.
So then,
It hasn't.
what right do the Gedolim have to do anything with the property?
What right did that to get involved? I'm not
Yeah.
sure. Good question. In other words, just why are they even doing anything at all? I'm not sure.
It's not theirs. I mean,
Well, it's no, I'll tell you why it is. I'll tell you why it is. You'll see later on is because they have a din at that stage, or what's called shutfut. They're considered partners in that state. Okay?
the
So
Gedolim and the Ketanim,
correct.
everyone.
All the heirs are considered to have a din of shutfut. So business partners can take action and other business partners say, well, forget it, we want to break it up. The problem is we've got Ketanim here, and they haven't divided it yet. So since they're acting in a capacity, well, certain business partners can take initiative to do certain things. And the
Okay.
profits are going to be shared evenly. That's effectively what that's kind of
Okay.
you'll see
So
later
it's
on.
right
And we have
before
that.
Chalukah.
Sorry. And it's both for Chalukah. And you'll see later on, we have this similar type of thing with Shutafi and business partners as well, though they can demand each other to make shvuos. I think we discussed this as well. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Rav Chiya Ruba Amar Stam Achim Shutafim Ad Shlosha Dorot. Then when it comes to brothers, if they never, it sounds like, broke it up, The stam shutafut would last for three generations. I'll read the Marfulda here. He says, stamachim yesh lem din shutafut. They have a status of shutafut le'inyan shvuat shutafim. Shvuat shutafim, if you recall, that they, one party can act by other person, make a shvuah. I think that's what it means. Okay? And even up to three generations. And that's why, because nilman na'adichtiv, this is with Abimelech and making the agreement. It says lin. It says, and there was referring to for three generations they can't fight one another. Okay? And understanding is that's for three generations is considered like a family unit already at that time, and that's why for three generations it's considered like a shutafut. Okay? So, of course, if they want to divide earlier, they could, as we've just ever explained. So Amar Rav Yossi bar Bun, Af Rav Hamnuna Hore Ken, he also taught in this way. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rav Imi. Ben Shnei Rechaluk b'chayei aviv, mashi sigel sigel atzmo. What this means is, let's say there's a household and the father's supporting all the children, and one of the children seems to be, taking his own business initiatives and functioning on his own. Okay? That which he profited, say, makes a lot of money on the side, that's considered his separately. We don't say that now, after Yerusha, the brothers can say, oh, one second. You were living at home and you've got all that money, which should just, should be considered tfusat habayit, should be part of the Yerusha, should be taking it. Okay, we don't say that. I'll just read my full one again. Sigel lashon skula. It's a ben shinirei chaluk she'amitasek b'ma'otav lashbiach la'atzmo, for his own benefit. And he goes, ma'ashit gel la'atzmo, le'sigel lashon skula ve'otzer ma'ashishpiach ishpiach la'atzmo, ve'eni atomim yicholim lomar. He says, no, minichsei aviv b'chei aviv ishpiach. You used our father's property. They can't say, and it was in his lifetime. Therefore, the Shevach should be the Emtza. He says, no, that's not the case. Okay? Father allowed him to go ahead. Sounds like he was investing, doing his own things. That's his own profit. The sons can't say, oh, make it equivalent to what we've been saying now, that it's like coming for initiatives when they're shared estate and therefore it has to be shared evenly. Okay, the Gemara says, Kahada chad barnash, it avid safar, or safar, there's different explanations here, bayachul miflagimei. He became a safar, could be a hairdresser or a scribe, depends if you understand it. And the brothers wanted to get a piece of that pie. So after Uvda Kamei Rav Imi, he says, Amar kach anu omrim adam shemata matzia achav chokimimo. If the guy was walking down the street and he found a mass of money, right? Or matzia, or something of value that has no siman, is allowed to keep it. Do you suddenly say, come home, when he comes home, he has to share it with his brothers? Obviously not. So this guy, look, he was a safari. He made profit, he worked, and therefore it's considered his. So Chad Barnash, Nafik Lishlichutza, he had a din of a shlichut of some sort. Baya Achuyim Miflagi made, they said, look, we want to share in the profits of what you just did. Okay? And he was paid to do so, obviously. Atu Udikame Rav Imi, Amar Kachan Omri, to really say such a thing. Adam Shiatzal Listim, someone who is a gangster and steals stuff. The brothers should share in that profit that he got? Absolutely not. Now it's interesting why they're comparing a shlichut to a listim. Yeah, the Rav Fulda says is the. It's simply because they're both on the road and they're both considered dangerous. Listen, they're dangerous because they're putting themselves in danger by doing dangerous things, but someone who's a shaliach traveling on the roads, in times of the Gemara, they're certainly dangerous. Now, Rav Horeina, Achui the Rav Shmuel, Bar Sus Sartia, says, Bay Achui Miflag Imei. Rav Horeina, the brother of Rav Shmuel, Bar Sustaya, they wanted, because their brother was incredibly wealthy, and they wanted to get a piece of, they said, well, we should be getting a share of this. So Amar Alexandra, Achui Yada at the Shavek Avuya Alfin. So this is an interesting answer. So it's the same type of context. While they were at home, this brother was ended up profiting, etc., and ended up banking a lot of money. And the brother, when the father passed away, they said, well, we should get a share of that. So Rav Marfud explains that his response is, So one of the other brothers responded, if you like, said, was our father a wealthy person? Do you know he left a large amount of money? Effectively, that our father didn't have that. That was this my brother's amassing of wealth. There's nothing related to our father, so therefore you don't have a share in it. It says, V'chen Isha, Amirabila, Amra, Bebeitin once again, which she says, Amra, just we said it has to be an official thing for her to then profit from it. So just like we started the Gemara before. Okay, let's continue. This is the case of the Isha that says, was your Isha Yoresh that starts improving the state. If she says, look, I'm look, look, let's take an accounting. I'm now taking initiative. I want to benefit from that initiative. If done, as long as she's done in front of Beit Din, then she can do so. Okay, let's get to this. Halacha Dalet. This is an interesting case here. So we've got, again, Yorushim, haven't divided the estate yet, and one fell to Umanut, which comes to Avodat HaMelech, some responsibility by the king. And it says, Shechen Minhag HaMelech La'amid Shekol Batei Ha'ir Adam Echad Lemuchas Chodesh Echad O Chodashim. It seemed to be they would take from every household, on a rotation basis, individuals appoint them to be like a tax collector, and they get paid for that position. So in this situation, if one of the brothers was selected, he was selected because of the household. And it could be any of them. He was just taking stuff from the household, and therefore that which he is doing is going to be of like a shared by all the other Yorshim. Chala v'nitrapa, if he gets sick and he has to get healed, nitrapa b'shel atzmo. Now, he understood the marful. This says chala, meaning be'ones, something out of control. Kolomo shelo pasha hu ba'atzmo mitrape, then he mitrape mena emtza. That's if he did nothing, if he wasn't negligent and suddenly got sick, then it would be mena emtza. It would be shared by everybody. Aval im chala mitzini pachim, if he was being stupid about it, then we say that's when the mishelatzmo. Then you were stupid. Why should we be responsible for looking after your health? You are smoking 800 packets of cigarettes a day. Why should we have to fit your bill? Okay, let's continue. Ha'achin sha'asu miktsatan shushvinet. B'chaya'iv chazra shushvinet chazra le'emtza. So shushvinim, it seemed to be, was a minhag that when people got married, they would invite guests, and the guests would take gifts, food, and things to be enjoyed at the seudah. But it wasn't just a nice thing. It was something that was expected to be reciprocated. And if it wasn't, they could take a person to Beit Din. It seemed to be a way, effectively, it sounds like a great idea because it lower costs of weddings, right? Because it's distributed, okay? So in such a way. Now, in that situation, let's say the father in his lifetime had a certain shushvanim, paid his share for a few weddings, and then if there's going to be returned in other weddings, that goes chazar la'emtza, shared by everybody, because it's almost like a bal chov. It's like a debt that was owed to the father, and because it's a debt that's owed to the father, all debts are shared by all the yorshim as part of the estate. However, hashushvin, and it's because shachvin nigav beitin, as I just said, aval shilach l'chavro kadei yami kadei shemen, if the person just sent nice gifts, not in this context of hashushvanit, then there ain't, because eino nigmin b'demshik b'chassadim, those are the type of things that can't be collected from, and not distributed evenly, and something cannot be there, because that's just a kind gesture that, like, we kind of do with our gifts. Now, Tani Achim Ashur Tavish Nafalacha Me'umanot HaMelech, Bezman Shabim Me'koach HaAris. If he's selected because of his Koach HaAris, meaning that they identify this person as this brother is extremely talented in the craft, and is therefore hired for that position because of his abilities, then Notlim, the Mezonot that he requires, because again, when you start a job, you're getting things, you're also being supported in a particular way for food and the like, then that would mean koach haris. He would have to be self-funded because he's been identified for that position because of his unique talents, therefore his profits and the mazon, that's all his. However, mikoach balabait, however, in this, like we explained in the Mishnah, if it's because, no, we're just randomly taking, it's your household's turn now, well, in that situation, he can be supported. The mazon he needs and necessary he can take from the estate. However, mikoach balabait, and also would go back to everybody. Now, kada de Nachman bar Shmuel bar Nachman nitpas lebuli. He was taken lebuli. Lebuli sounds like a different explanation of what that means, but it sounds like chelot melech or some official position. Out of the kamei rav imi asamra in it nichasoyi. If you have a lot of assets, and that's why you were taken for that position, to identify you, in de Nachman shin nitpas lebuli. You turn on Mechasav, then it has to be again, it's because of him, it's associated with him, the expenses are borne by him. Okay? However, im lo, if love, if not, you know, turn on mina emtza, then, in other words, if it was just a household appointment and he happened to be the one that they picked, then again, he would be the mazon that he needed would be taken from the estate. Okay? Exactly the same case. Let's continue. Chala v'nitrapa, nitrapa mina emtza. So here is a different gist to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Chala nitrama, what? Min atzmo, right? Let me get the last one. Yeah, min Michel atzmo, sorry. So again, I think you can explain the two different gists. The Nuschot, like the Marafulda, says, depends how this brother got sick. If it was something honest, then it comes from the States, like Mezonot, it's no different. And if he was convinced of being stupid and negligent, then he has to, then it's his fault. Now, since we're mentioning refuah as being something that's equivalent with mezonot being supported, that's why I bring the next case, which you also saw in the Masechet Ketubot, Tani. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he says as follows: Kol makash yesh la kam kitzva, mitrapa miktubata, v'she'en la kitzva mitra bin hanechasim. So the simple understanding here, and this is the way we explained it in the Ketubot, and also the way the Maharal explains it here, is we're talking about an isha who's an almana. So she hasn't collected the ketubiyah. And if she needs a particular rufua that has a ketz, like a fixed amount, it's, this is the treatment you have and you'll be done with it. Well, that's mitrapeh me'aktubah. Then that's the other yorshim aren't responsible for funding that. And therefore, it would have to be deducted. She has to self-fund it, effectively come from the ketubah. However, she'ein la kitzvah, or kitza, if however it's like a chronic thing, an ongoing thing, then that's very much like mezonot. And until she collects a ketubah, the other yorishim are required to support her, and that's part of her support. Okay, that's looking at the responsibility of the yorishim. That's how I explained it there. Now I'm explaining the, but the assumption is by making this assumption, it assumes then when it comes to the husband, well, it's different. Husband has to, I don't care what type of condition she has, he always has to ensure and support her in that way. Okay, that's so. In other words, that's why the Maharal explained. You'll see in a moment why this gets a bit tricky. Because of the next case. And that's why, I'm not mistaken, the Reb Chaim there, when he explained it as this case specifically referring to the case of an almana, he says the problem is what you'll see is because of this case, what we're about to read now, that seems to suggest that even the husband we can have is afforded the distinction. It says, Kada krifted Reb Shimon Barba, Havu chashasha, this relative of Rava had, she had problems with eyes. Ada gabe Reb Yochanan, came from Rochanan, Amala, Asiach. Is the refuah something that's fixed? Meaning, is it something that is like a single treatment or a single, that's not a single treatment, but we've got a fixed type of treatment you can go through that will cure you? Or is it chronic? In kitz, katzitz, if it's katzitz, then min panech. If it's fixed, then you have to come from mektubah. Ilo katzitz, then ba'alech, your husband has to give it to you. Now, the fact that I just stressed the word husband seems to suggest, do we even, pardon me, have this distinction by a husband? That only if it's a chronic thing does you have to give it to her, but if it's like a refuah type of quick treatment, then it will come from a ketubah. The shittas that say that no, the husband's chayv on b'chol mikre, they would have to read this gemara as being balech, meaning like the estate of balech. That's how you'd have to read it if you wanted to understand it as being different from the husbands and the Yorushim. Anyway, you know, it says, V'lo kantanina. One second. How could Rabbi Yochanan give her that insight in terms of how she could best, if you like, navigate this? Because ideally, she wants to not have a deduction from Maktubah and get it as part of the support. It says, but one second. Al tzatzcha, you can't be like an Orchei Dayan where you feed people Balei Dinim information and they can use to their benefit. Okay, you can't be a lawyer, right? Umadirab Chagai says, Beshem Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, you can't feed a Baal Din information to that he can manipulate or tweak his claim that will be to his benefit. So Amrei Yadei Havei Rabbi Yochanan Dahi Ita Ksheira Begin Ken Galila. He says, no. Rabbi Yochanan, if you like, knew that this woman was Ksheira and that she, if you like, wouldn't lie. Okay, that she wouldn't manipulate it. Okay, in other words, I'm sure Mafulda Yada have a Rabbi Yochanan sheisha kshera v'im tell davar kitzva eno meshakeret. If the doctor is going to say that it's a fixed thing, she's not going to lie to her husband saying, "Oh, by the way, it's chronic. Give me the money." Okay, but the Gemara says, one second, bala baya hen katzitz baila de lo katzatz lemanchami lo lebala. He says, but you're assuming there's only one doctor with one opinion that's authoritative. And that's why you can say necessarily you can trust that she went to the doctor says it was katzatz, and he trusts that he won't lie to her husband. But there could be, a number of different opinions. What if one doctor says it's katzatz, I can give you the one-off thing to fix, and another says, no, it's actually chronic? The husband can have, what's it called, can have the choice to say which doctor to go to ensure that it's katzatz or not katzatz, and therefore, it's still, even if she's not going to lie what the doctor said, there's still. She might choose her doctors carefully based on the advice that Rabbi Yochanan just gave her. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Matnaya Hada Datema Behu Delay Dina Ima. In other words, when do you have the problem of Orchei Dayanin, of being Lomi Orchei Dayanin? That's when you're trying to feed information for a person to swing the judgment in their favor when they're not worthy of it, when they're aimed in Ima. However, he Abaramaha Behu Dina Ime Amar Le Melta. But in this situation, he knew this woman had, if you like, this chronic condition. He could see she had this condition for a long, long time anyway. And therefore, there was no problem in him explaining her case because the din was imma. In other words, orchei dayanim is when you're saying, look, I don't think you can get this, but if you say X, Y, Z, you'll convince the judges otherwise. Okay? This is a different situation because he knew quite clearly the din was imma. That's why he had no problem if, like, paskening for her. Okay? Let's continue. Next mission is halacha hey. Hashalach sivlo not lebeit chamir. If someone sends gifts to his father-in-law, shilach sham mea maneg, and he sends 100 mane worth of gifts, and he ate there sham sudat chatan afilu bedinar eno nigabin. So just to explain this, the sivlo not is what was sent after kiddushin, gifts to his wife's household, okay, betrothed household, because he's not married yet, right? This after kiddushin, there was a gap between kiddushin and nisuin, as we learned in the past, and these gifts. He could have sent a lot of money. What happens if either he dies or she dies? You know, they didn't end up getting married. Can he claim those gifts back? The answer is, well, depends. If he ate a sudat chatanim already there, that they would have as a result of celebrating the kiddushin, then we say because of the hana he got from the sudat kiddushin, even though he only ate a small amount of value, he was effectively, the gifts were given over completely. So, enoning back. However, lo achal sham sudat, if he didn't enjoy a sudat chatanim, then to a chatan, then are elu nigba'im, then giving him over wasn't a complete giving him over, that can be claimed back. In other words, when do we say it's fully given over? That's when it is like, at least he got the surah chatan in. Okay, even if what he's giving is way in excess of the value of the what he ate, the burgers he ate there, I don't know. So shilach siblonot. What if he sent large siblonot, but he specifically said, kedeshia bo'i ma'la beit ba'ala, and the intent was that she would bring them back with her when they get married. Okay, now it doesn't have to be big gifts, but that's the derech generally if it's very big that he would say such a thing. But the point is, if he's that's where Marful explains it, but if he says that, even if it's small, he says, I'm giving you this that we can enjoy it together. Like, I don't know, he gives her a dishwasher, a very magic dishwasher. The understanding is that the dishwasher will be used in the house together. Okay, not a good idea, but he did that. He says, then we say, then it's clear. It's clear that he did that it wasn't given over just for now. It was that, and therefore, if say she died, then he could go to the father-in-law's house. Can I have the dishwasher back? Okay. Sivlo not mumatim kadeshi shamu bahem viva beit bala. If it's a small amount, and he's quite happy for her to make use of him, like we explained. It doesn't have to be small, but he's quite happy to have it. Then they wouldn't be collected. Okay. Let's continue. Hashloach sivlo lebeit chamir. Kad bar nashilech larosuto sivlo morav. There was one person that was very generous. His madly in love, and he gave a huge, these massive sivlonot to his, to the in-laws, but he sent it off. Amrlo krivoy, his relative said, okay, settle down. Says, just remember, when you go there, make sure l'tom taman klum, make sure you don't take a bite to eat. Because he would, therefore, that's what it said in the Mishnah, if he eats and something happens, he's ne'ne'e b'sura chatan, and if something happens, well, goodbye to all that wealth you've just given over. If he doesn't anything, then he could claim them back. Azal, he went. V'lo shamayi, listen to them. He tuck into the food. V'chal, he ate. V'nafal beta, v'zachem v'kula. And then the house collapsed, unfortunately, and they got to, and the other side of the family got to keep it all. Right? In other words, because he was ne'ne'e b'sudat chatanin, the sivlono given over is considered mamash given over. And he can't claim them back. Okay, we'll pick it up from here. All right, have a good Shabbos.